I'm Howard Bryant. It's time for three stories you should know. This week, we're going to start with football, you know, soccer, the sport of kings, and then move on to the NFL. I'm joined by SB Nation's Tyler Tynes, whose work is featured in the 2018 Best American Sports Writing. In bookstores this week, welcome back and congratulations, Tyler.
Thank you.
And by one of my very favorite investigative journalists, you do not want her on your trail, the terrific Jessica Luther. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You are up first this week, Jessica. What do we need to know?
Yeah, so Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer superstar from Portugal who plays for Juventus in Italy, is the third highest paid athlete in the world and possibly the most famous. He is now also under investigation by the Las Vegas Police Department in regard to a 2009 reported sexual assault. A woman by the name of Catherine Mayorga has come forward in a long piece in the German magazine Der Spiegel. She waited until now because back in 2010, Ronaldo settled with her out of court and paid her $375,000 with the stipulation that she never talk about the reported assault again. But she has a new lawyer who is trying to void the settlement on multiple legal grounds. There's a police investigation because she filed a police report and did a rape kit back in 2009, the day after she says he raped her. Ronaldo has denied these allegations, but in their reporting, Der Spiegel says there was an internal document between Ronaldo's lawyers in which Ronaldo admits she said no. There may not be a bigger athlete on this planet. Do you all see this getting any traction?
Well, I think that it should be getting some traction, but given the week that we've had, and also not just the week, but the year, you're looking at Ohio State and Jessica, of course, the work you've done on Baylor and Kavanaugh. I mean, you wonder how you're going to keep your enthusiasm level high, at least to be paid closer attention. I'm going to try to be optimistic and say that this is going to get the sort of traction that it needs and that it's going to, and that people are going to pay attention to it. I wish I were more optimistic than I am. Tyler, what do you think?
I definitely don't have the optimism, mostly because we live in a system here where the powerful is always uplifted, where the powerless are not. This woman has every piece of evidence possible. Mm-hmm. You have sponsors who are kind of backing away from Ronaldo. You have teams who are suspending him and giving him a break. But it should go much further than that, to the point that a woman's furor must be respected, and so should her pain.
Yeah, and you've got Nike that's got a $1 billion endorsement deal with him, by the way. That's $1 billion for one player. And of course, EA Sports has also said that they're monitoring the situation very closely. Jessica, this is the area that you traffic in. When you saw Addison Russell get 40 games for Major League Baseball after his domestic violence situation, is this needle moving at all, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's moving. It's a, you know, I always describe this as like a giant cruise ship with a teeny tiny rudder, and turning this at all is very difficult. But, you know, for someone like me who studies college football and sexual violence in particular, it wasn't much, but Urban Meyer, he got a little bit of punishment, but it's going to take a long time and a lot of work to get the kind of change that we're hoping for.
Tyler, you're up.
So in the last few weeks, one of the major dissenters in this athletic moment of protest outside of Colin Kaepernick, his former teammate Eric Reed, was recently signed by the Carolina Panthers. Reed is an all-pro level, almost all-world level safety at this point, and was one of the main people who kneeled next to Colin Kaepernick back in August 2016. After Jerry Richardson's reign of misogyny and also sexism and also racism and also everything bad in the world that could be around one owner, him leaving the Panthers last year has opened up a new leadership where owner David Tepper has said that he sides with the protest. That being said, it doesn't feel as if the Panthers have done anything monumental by hiring a dissenter or hiring a protester who was ousted from the league and has a collusion case with the NFL. They've done nothing but hire the right person for the job. But at the same time, it almost feels as if protesters during the Kaepernick era are finding their way back into the league. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that, number one, do you get a medal for doing the right thing? Is that what we do here? Jessica, my question for you on this, I'm thinking, is this cynicism in that you finally got a player that you needed when you're the Panthers? Or is it the fact that now that you hire Eric Reed, that collusion lawsuit that he's got currently against the NFL now goes away?
That's a good question. I mean, it does matter that they hired him because he's a good football player. Going back to the discussion we just had, and Tyler brought this up, if we want to talk about the impact of Me Too on sports, the fact that Richardson's not there is because of Sports Illustrated's reporting about his misogyny and racism.
Yeah, that's right.
That's tied into Me Too, right? So we can see a direct impact here. It is hard. You don't want to give them cookies for doing the thing that they should do. I don't know. It's so complicated. I'm really happy, though, that Reed is back.
I think we can mix a piece of actually being happy that somebody who deserves a job got one and also having skepticism that it took this long for it to happen. The entire NFC South needed
a safety. It never happened in the first place. Why are we waiting until October for this?
Exactly. Eric Reed was not on a preseason roster. Eric Reed was not on a training camp roster. It took multiple men to fall on the gridiron for Eric Reed to even get proposed that he should have a job. The general manager, Marty Herney, said that this is strictly a football decision, and that's when this starts to feel duplicitous. Like, we need to actually speak about it.
Yeah, and he's not being silent. I just want to point out that at his presser,
which was great,
when he was introduced as, his unpacking of U.S. history and oppression in this country should be used in classrooms. And he's being very clear in his messaging, as he has always been.
Yeah, Eric and I talked about this at length during the 2017 season, all year with the 49ers last year. And I remember saying to him, listen, you can't beat the flag, so you're going to have to go head first on shaping your message on what this is all about. Stay on target. If you don't stay on target, then they're going to shape it for you and you're going to lose. So what he did to me was fantastic. I am going to finish things off with football as well. And people hate it when I say it, but sports are filtered through the following lens: white owners, white coaches, white season ticket buyers, white media, and black players. Through this lens, players perform a service for the owners and they entertain the fan base. They have no other rights or concerns. They're paid a ton and they're expected to be grateful. But Earl Thomas, a safety for the Seattle Seahawks, he held out earlier this season for a better contract. And everyone knows the dangers of football, the injury risks, the short window of opportunity, and the fans called him selfish. And he came back, and what happened? He broke his leg. And while being carted off the field, he flipped the middle finger to his own sideline. And some fans burned his jersey. My reaction wasn't to burn his jersey, it was to buy one. Jessica?
But who got your jersey money, though?
Exactly.
The man,
and that's
always
the problem.
Wins.
Is there some way to support and also to make sure that the right people are being hurt by this?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it made me think a lot about this story with J.R. Smith that came up recently in the NBA, and he put a tattoo on his leg, and there's all this discussion about covering it up, and sort of this discussion of who owns, I'm putting that in quotes, like who owns these athletes, and what do they owe us?
Jessica, sometimes because we refer to them as owners.
Right, yes.
We do talk about them as owners. The language of sports is very specific.
Right.
I think the anger that comes in hearing some of these decisions is the fact that we don't really understand the metrics of how capitalism can work, right? You belong to the people who pay your paychecks, and that's wrong at the basis of it, right? So if the NBA says, J.R. Smith, actually, we do own your skin, he has one of two choices. Either he says emphatically, no, you don't. I want a brand on my leg. Or he says, the money is more important to my kids, which he did say. I'm just going to keep it pushing. And so I think it's powerful that people like Earl Thomas and J.R. Smith are standing up to these corporations that are telling them they're not worth that much, when the reality is, if there's no Le'Veon Bell on the field, as we've seen with the Steelers' offense, the offense doesn't go. The team is bad. Losses accrue. People get fired. And that's just because you wouldn't pay somebody their worth.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been investigative journalist Jessica Luther. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
And SB Nation's Tyler Tynes. Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you.